our fearless leader.
Amelia.
Horace and Amelia are on vacation up in the mountains somewhere, I guess. So I'm giving the talk today. And okay, anyway, I just ask the Lord to bless what I'm saying today, you know, and I pray that it'll be what the Holy Spirit would have me talk about today. Thank you, Lord. So what I want to talk about today, well, you know, first of all, a disclaimer or two. The opinions and ideas I express here are my own, you know, and not necessarily those of the management. Okay,
that's great.
I want to talk about prayer today and give you some of my opinions about prayer. And maybe because it's an intimate crowd, you know, I don't know if all of you are old enough to remember comedian Joan Rivers.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. Get up close to the mic and say, can we talk? She's going to share some juicy bits of gossip with you or something. Anyway, I'd like to talk about it. I'll express my opinions about some things here. And then, you know, I'd like other people to indicate what they agree with, what they don't agree with, or their own opinions on this subject. So it's an important subject, prayer. And the scripture that I want to primarily use today is from Hebrews 11:6. And it says, without faith, it is impossible to please God, for he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. As some versions say, that is, he's able to give us what we ask. Often when people use this scripture, what they emphasize, and it's appropriate, is it impossible to please God without faith? Well, I believe that, and that's true. But I want to actually emphasize the other two parts of this particular scripture today. That is, when somebody comes to God, when we're talking with God, conversation with God, we call it prayer, we must first believe that he is. This is step one. You must really believe that there is a God and that he is the supreme being, that he created it all, and that Jesus is his son, and he's our savior, and he sits now at the right hand of God and intercedes on our behalf and so forth. We must believe that in order to come to God and talk to him. We can't really talk to him like we aren't even sure that he's really it. That he is who he says he is, Jesus is who he says he is, and that God exists and so forth. So this is, and we all get to that somehow or another. Don once in a while talks about the fact that, you know, I've had a couple experiences in life where I feel like the Lord has actually spoken to me. I mean, actual words. They weren't out loud, but they were actual words. It wasn't just a thought. It wasn't just a feeling or anything like that, real words. And that's how I first came to Christ, when the Holy Spirit or something just told me that Jesus is alive. Jesus is alive. And okay. And that and other things I've experienced, I can feel the presence of the Holy Spirit sometimes. It's just this sort of a feeling all over me. I know when the Holy Spirit's really interested in what's happening and something's going on here. One time, I attended a Billy Graham crusade in Cleveland, and it was in a football stadium, and there were like 30,000 people there. I was sitting way up high. I was already saved at this point, and I was just going to see what it was like. And, you know, they did some worship and everything, and I thought, well, it's okay. It's not as good as our worship or something. And then he gives a message, you know, and I thought, you know, he's not a great speaker. I didn't think that was, you know, but it was a basic salvation message, and I didn't think it was particularly inspired. And he gets done, and he just says, okay, all those who would like to receive Christ today, come forward. And, oh, I start to feel it again. I'm sorry. Like, 10,000 people stood up and came forward. And I just started to cry. I just started to cry. A guy behind me came up and thought that I wanted salvation or something. He says, do you want me to pray for you or whatever? I said, these are tears of joy. It's just the Holy Spirit welled up in me. It wasn't voluntary on my part at all. I couldn't believe it. I mean, they just were flooding down out of the stands to come up and receive Christ. Anyway, there are times when I really felt the presence of God and everything. Anyway, Don says, he hasn't exactly had an experience like some of mine or whatever, but he knows that God is, you know. He grew up with it or whatever, and he knows that he knows that he knows it. I mean, and that's where we all have to be. That has to be step one. However we get there, however we do it, we have to, as we start to pray to God, we have to know it really is, he really is there. And he is who he says he is in this. Praise God. Amen. That's step one. And then the second part that I want to emphasize is, it says, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Or again, that he is able to give us what we ask. So we ask for something. And what we have to really believe, really know in our heart of hearts, is that he's able to do this. That he is that big a God. Whatever it is we're asking for, okay, that he is able to do this. You know, you can't pray just sort of like, well, you know, I don't know. This is probably impossible or whatever or anything like that. No, when you pray, you really have to know that God is able to do what you're asking. Okay. All right. Now, you know, a lot of people emphasize other scriptures where they talk about it's all faith, you know, and if your faith is good enough, then you'll get what you're asking for. And I really, you know, and we were part of a church for a short period of time, for a few years, where the faith message was the big thing that was stressed. And it was all about, is your faith good enough? Whatever it is you want. If your faith is good enough, you can get this. And I've come to realize this is just an entirely wrong emphasis. Entirely wrong. It's not a question of our faith. It's just a question of who God is. Again, we come back to that. We have to know that he is, and he is who he says he is, and that he is able, and he can do this. And so our faith is not in our faith, as I say sometimes, but our faith is in a person. Our faith is in Jesus Christ, and he can do it, and he can do it. Now, you know, so some people emphasize the scripture about, you know, whatsoever you ask, if you believe you will have it, you will have it, okay? But, you know, we have to take the whole word of God, the whole scripture, and another scripture says, if you pray believing in the will of God, you will receive it, okay? Well, this is a controversial thing. I'm not quite sure why it is so controversial. Maybe I do know, but it's too bad that it's controversial. I've heard pastors, again, when we were part of this faith camp, really say, you know, if you pray, if it be your will, that's a lack of faith. Jesus prayed that, you know, in Gethsemane in the garden, you know, before he's crucified, he said, Father, if it be possible, take this from me, but thy will be done. Thy will be done. And I personally don't think there's anything wrong with saying, if it's in your will, God, you know. And there's other scripture, one that says something about, you know, sometimes we pray in our own lust or whatever, our own greed. You know, we're asking for things that we just we want a new Cadillac or whatever, a new Mercedes-Benz or something like that, you know? And God may really not be that interested in giving us a Mercedes-Benz. What was it? That's the old, what's her name's song?
Janet Joplin. Huh? Janet Joplin.
Yeah, Janis Joplin, you know. Lord wants you buy. All my friends have Porsches. I must make amends.
Yes.
Won't you buy me a Mercedes-Benz? He probably, you know, he's not that interested in that sort of thing. Okay. So I think it is important for us to seek the mind of God when we're looking for something. And then this comes to the other part of prayer. You know, most of our prayer is we're asking things for God. But the other big important part of prayer is listening to God, listening for God. And so even when we're asking, we should be doing some listening. You know, do we really get the sense that this is something God wants to do for us? Okay. But again, it's not a lack of faith, you know. If we say, you know, if it be your will, you know, Lord, and then just letting know, letting, this is what I really want, and I think it's a good thing, and I think I need this, and Lord, you are able, and I know that you exist, and so forth. Okay? All right, well, I said, you know, these are my opinions. And again, I've heard more than one person say, you know, you can't have any of this wishy-washy stuff up there, you know, when you're asking him for something. You just, you know, because, and then they just quote that one scripture that says, whatever you ask, if you believe you have it, you have it. But again, it's not a question of our faith in just how strong our faith is. It's just looking at who we're praying to and what he can do. And he is there. And he is there. Okay, well, you know, there are, it's amazing what he can do. You know, again, like one time when he spoke to me, it was when we were selling the house in Ohio. And the people made a great offer, 98% of what we were asking for and everything. But they wanted inspections, and we had the inspections done. And it failed like a half a dozen things. None of them were terribly important. Okay, I mean, you could say they're important, but there were things like, okay, the fecal count in the well was a little bit too high, but that can be fixed just by putting chlorine in down in your well. And what people have told me is that, you know, any well where you haven't put chlorine in it for a while won't pass most of these tests. Their requirements are so low or whatever. And we did that in the end, and it passed the test plan. But, and then things like the septic field, when it was put in, it was entirely satisfactory for the county, but now they wouldn't do this thing. It was a dry well instead of a septic field with, you know, things running out just under the surface of the lawn and so forth. And the guy who did the inspection said, well, if you were in the next county over, this would still be okay. But this county now, they won't let you do that anymore. So if anything ever goes wrong with your well, they'll make them tear this whole thing out and put a septic field in. Well, that's tens of thousands of dollars or something. And I thought, oh, you know, the buyers won't want to sign on to this, you know, or whatever. And, oh, I don't know. And the radon count in the basement was a little bit too high. But the basement is really an old stone cellar, and it's a low ceiling and everything, and nobody spends any time down there and all that. But they said, well, it doesn't matter. We have to take it in the lowest room in the house or something like that. Anyway, all these things. So I'm up, and I'm literally down on the floor. There, every once in a while, I just get down on the floor is when I'm praying to God. And I kept saying to God, you know, Lord, what can I do? What can I do to fix this? You know, this it's going to take tons of thousands of dollars to fix all these things, and it's going to take months, you know, and we're ready to move. We have a place down in Virginia. We need to get down there and so forth. And as I've recounted before, what God said to me in distinct words was, Brian, it's not about you. It's not about you. So I was just praying, what can I do? What can I do? And his response was, you need to get that I out of there, and you just have to turn it over to him. Just turn it over to him. And I knew when I heard that, that somehow it was going to be okay. It's going to be okay. That this was over on him now. Okay. And I went back to bed, and I actually was able to go to sleep. And then the next few days, it became clear the people who were buying the house looked at the result of all the inspections, and they said, we really don't care. That's fine. These things aren't that bad. And the radon level wasn't that bad for them as far as they're concerned, and so forth and so on. The only thing they made us do was have the septic tank pumped out and put chlorine in the well. Cost me $350, something, and I could get it done in the next week, something like that. So what God did was he brought us buyers who just didn't care about all those things. And I hadn't even considered that as an option, you know. But that's how big he is. I mean, I'm thinking, how am I going to get the radon level down? You have to have holes drilled in your cellar and everything. You have to put fans in that suck up the radon and take it out of pipe. And so, I mean, it's a big deal. And I'm trying to think, how am I going to do all that and everything? So sometimes when we pray, we just have to turn it over to God. That is, it's not a question of, okay, what are you going to give me or what are you going to enable me to do? But God, I'm just turning this over to you. I have this problem, whatever it is, you know, even if it's an illness of some kind, Lord, I don't know exactly what's going to happen here, what I might have to go through or not have to go through, or even if this is the time when you're calling me home, but I'm turning it over to you. And if we really can do that, a peace can come. A peace can come knowing that it's now, quote, in his court. He's there, and he is who he says he is, and he is able. One way, go far and above whatever we might imagine. I couldn't imagine, okay, these people just wouldn't care. Okay, but he can do that. He can do that. Another example was, you know, when I came to Christ, we had a house church, and there were about 10 of us. It was every other Sunday. This couple pastors came through on a circuit out of Indiana. They went up through Canada. They preached at a place outside Toronto. Okay, and then in Vermont, a place there, and another place in New York State, and then back to Ohio. And every 2 weeks, they come through. It's like old circuit riders or whatever. But this is a meeting that had been in somebody else's house about 20, 30 miles away from us on the other side of Akron, and they didn't want it in their house anymore, and they moved it to our house. At any rate, there weren't that many people there. On a Sunday, there were about 10 of us. And for worship, we listened to old music tapes and so forth. And these people come through, and they would preach. And I remember one of them said, you know, I'm praying for a worship leader for this church. And I was thinking, there's nobody here that's really got that much musical talent and not really the kind of person that can be a worship leader and everything. And then, you know, I did this thing where I agreed to get together. I wasn't saved at that time. I was doing this for Joan's sake, and or because she wanted it, not because she needed it. Her faith was already there. But anyway, I was doing it for Joan. And a guy came through with the pastors, and he would always come up to me and he'd say, Brian, are you saved yet? And I'd say, no, I'm not, you know, I'm not going to do this unless I really believe, you know. And he'd say, well, I think you're very close. I don't understand why you aren't saved. And he'd come through, oh, every other time or something. So like once a month or every other month. And he would just bother me the whole time he was there. Why aren't you saved yet? And everything. And finally he said to me, well, you know, you just need to pray about this or something. And I said, well, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll pray with Joan every morning for the next 2 weeks till people come around again. You come around again. I'll pray with Joan every morning. And if nothing happens, then I want you to leave me alone. Okay. All right. So Monday, we set this on, they were on our place on a Sunday. And on Monday, I sat down with Joan in the living room and we started to pray. And I immediately started to feel something on me. And it's just like, this is strange. I don't know what this is. I don't know what this is. I can just feel this. And then Tuesday we sat down and again, it was like that. And I'm just praying the simplest thing. I'm praying, God, if you exist, make it clear to me. That's all I'm praying. I mean, you know, I have a PhD in nuclear physics and everything, but you know, that it comes down to the simplest basic thing for each and every one of us. God, if you are real, make it clear to me. And then again, this voice just said, Jesus is alive. I mean, distinct words, not a feeling or whatever. Jesus is alive. And it went in me. I mean, it went in me. And I knew that Jesus was alive. I knew that was true as well as I knew what my name was or anything else. It just became a part of me like that. Okay. And so again, but the point is, it's an example of you're praying for something very simple or whatever, and God gives you something that's above and beyond what you could imagine. I had no idea that he could do this sort of thing in me, that he could just put that in me supernaturally like that. And I still, you know, I cling to that. I go back to that regularly and everything. No matter what happens, I know that Jesus is alive. Okay, so we have to believe that he is, and then he can give us whatever we're asking. We have to know that. Okay. Yeah, let me just see my notes here. Okay. Then, okay, what about prayer where it doesn't seem like the prayer is answered? Okay, I mean, all right, this is a big subject. And I'm sure we've all experienced this. We're praying for something and it just doesn't seem like anything's happening or whatever the condition is isn't going away, or we're praying for somebody and it doesn't seem to be getting anywhere with them and so forth. Okay. For me, this falls into also the category of just, you know, why do bad things happen? You know, so sometimes we pray for something and what a lot of people say is, well, the real answer God is giving you is no. You can't have that. But it might be something very important to us and it really bothers us, you know. And it might be an illness or whatever, and it's really important and everything. And why do bad things happen? Why do 2-year-old children die in car accidents? You know, why do babies get cancer and die and so forth and everything? And sometimes we pray for these things and it doesn't seem to happen. Well, I've listened to a number of people give messages and or I've read them online or in books here or there or whatever. Anyway, people trying to explain, you know, why bad things happen and why some prayers seem to go unanswered and so forth. Okay. And it's something that bothers all of us. I mean, we all want to believe that somehow the world is fair, everything is fair, and that somehow if we just look at this right, we'll see why it was really good that it went this way. Okay. And for example, I heard one pastor say, sometimes, well, what happens when an infant dies or dies in childbirth, even or something like that? Do they go to heaven or not? What's going on with that? And he said, what I think is God knows what that person would have done if they had lived. Okay. And would they have come to Christ if they had lived? And then, okay. And for a little while, I thought, well, that's good. I kind of like that. But,
Sure.
the more I thought about it, I don't know. I mean, I still don't think it's nice. Why do infants have to die? Why do some people suffer with an illness for a long time and great physical pain and so forth and everything? Well, the book of Job exists in the Bible. And terrible things happened to Job and to his family and so forth. And finally, he kind of has it out with God. He sits down with God, okay, why is this happening and everything? And finally, God just says to him, where were you when I laid the foundations for the earth? Or in other words, who do you think you are to question what I'm doing? And I think, so again, I'm telling you my opinion on these sort of things and not necessarily those of the management. But, I think bad things happen, and sometimes we just don't know. We don't know, and we aren't going to know. Why did God let it go that way? If that's even the right way to say it, I don't know, But sometimes we just have to say, that was bad. That was bad. I don't like that. I knew a guy in our church in Ohio, his wife died from cancer. She had gone, had bouts with cancer off and on, and she died, and she was about 50 years old, something. And he was one of the other elders in the church there, and a really good Christian. And actually, he just died here recently, a few years ago, of COVID. Hit him, and in 2 weeks, he was gone. That was shocked to all of us. I mean, that's another example of this. But anyway, so this was some time ago, it was 20 years ago or so, his wife died, and he didn't like it, but he didn't leave the church, and he didn't really lose his faith. But I remember he got up and talked to the congregation, and he said, I just have to tell God I don't like this. When his wife died, he said, I'm having a bad year, and I just don't like this. And I think we can do that sometimes. We can just say to God, I don't like this. Okay. But that should not stop us from still knowing that He is, that He exists, and that He is able to do far and above upon whatever we can imagine. And so I still pray, and I want to encourage everybody else to pray. If you want something sometime, get before God about it. And you seek his face, as they say, and you ask sincerely, is this something I really think you in your will, in that it's a good thing. It's not, I'm not asking for a Mercedes-Benz. This is something I really need. I need the salvation of my children or whatever. Or I need healing for me. I need healing for my wife or whatever. And then, as long as you feel assured that this is a good thing to pray for and everything, then you should pray it and believe that it will happen. Expect God will do it because he's there and he is able. But if it finally turns out it doesn't go that way, we should get up. I mean, it's just like David, after his infidelity with Bathsheba and so forth, and a child was born from that out of wedlock experience and so forth and everything, then he prayed, got down in sackcloth and ashes or whatever, anything that child would live. that that child would live. And the child died. And once the child was dead, he got up and took off the sack clothes and cleaned himself up and everything, and went on and still believed that God was God and God could do far and above what we could imagine. Lord, help us all to be able to do that. Well, the last thing I just want to say, I want to say a little something about, you know, well, the other half of prayer is listening. Well, none of us pray enough. You know, I certainly don't. And I'm sure some of you pray more than I do. I remember one time in the church in Ohio, there was a woman there who was a real intercessor. And I knew she prayed a lot and everything. And one time she got up and she was witnessing about something or another that the Lord had shown her and everything. And she said, you know, I just feel so far from God, you know. And I'm thinking, oh my gosh, if she's far from God, you know, there's no hope for me. Because I know she's before him all the time and everything. Anyway, I think no matter how much we pray, in some sense, we always feel like, oh, I really should have been praying more than I do, whatever. And I'm sure some of you pray more than I do now. But most of the time when we pray, we're asking for something. That's human nature, I think. We shouldn't feel guilty about that. That's okay. We go to God, and he's there for that, and he encourages us for that. We also need to just listen sometime. So two stories come to mind. One was, there's a guy named Rick Joyner, who used to be with Morning Star Ministries in the Carolinas somewhere, I think. And he was well known in Christian circles and everything. And he had a newsletter that went around and so forth and everything. But he was saying that, you know, he finally decided he needed to spend more time with God. And so he set aside 1 or 2 hours in the morning to just pray with God every morning. And he did this, for a year or two or something, like, for quite a while and everything. And it was good. The Lord showed him lots of things and everything. But then, you know, his life started to get busy, you know, and he'd been going on doing this and everything. And that prayer time in the morning got shorter and shorter, you know, and sometimes he wouldn't do it at all or whatever, you know. But you know, he's very busy doing all kinds of stuff, quote, for God. But that prayer time had shrunk way down. And he said one day he was at home and one of the people in his congregation came and rang the doorbell and everything. And it was a lady, an intercessor. And he said, yes, okay, well, you want to have her step in? And she said, I've been praying to God and I don't know what this means. She says, I don't know what this means, but the Holy Spirit has just told me that he misses you.
Oh, no.
This stuff is real, you know what I mean? I mean, he's really there on the other end, and he's interested in talking with us, you know? We sometimes feel far away and that he's way off somewhere and we're here or whatever, but he's right here. He's right here, and all we have to do is sit down and talk with him, okay? Another case was one of these pastors that would come around every 2 weeks. His name was Jerry Reeder, and he had been a missionary pilot in Irian-Jaya. Irian-Jaya is one half of the island of New Guinea. It's the half of New Guinea that belongs to Indonesia. And there were missionaries way back in the jungle, and the only way you could get in and out of there was with little grass airstrips people would make in there, and he would fly missionaries and stuff in and out. Very dangerous flying and so forth. Anyway, he said, you know, he went over one time and he visited a friend, and this friend had bought a caboose. And he had this caboose put in his backyard. Okay. Now, a caboose, like, Lily, maybe too young. I don't know if you ever seen a caboose, Lily. Oh, I don't know. Any rate, used to be on the end of a train in America. It was a red car, usually, or something. And usually there were some railroad workers who would live in there, sort of, at least for a day or two at a time. And they would check air brakes and stuff like that and everything. And then finally, the railroads decided they didn't really need cabooses anymore. And now no trains in America have cabooses anymore. But some of these old cabooses are around, and they're kind of cute things. And every once in a while, you ride around the countryside, you'll see one parked here or there. So this guy had one, and he got it in his backyard, and he fixed it up nice and everything. And Jerry Reeder thought it would be nice to just spend some time in the caboose praying. So he went out in the backyard, and it was very nice, and it was a very rural setting, and it was very pleasant. And he just started praying with God, and he spent like 3 or 4 hours there praying with God. And he said it was one of the greatest experiences he ever had. Lord, he really felt close to God. God communicated a lot of things to him about, okay, what he should be doing next and where he goes next or whatever and everything, but mostly just bathed in the presence of God and so forth. Okay. Well, we're all busy. We're all busy. We have lots of things to do and lots of things we want to do and everything. But let me just encourage you and me to do more of that. Sometimes we just need to pray and listen. Joan and I pray together every morning. We read a couple of devotionals and everything. And at the end, I usually try to leave a little bit of time to just see if God wants to say something to us. Okay. And then sometimes I can't sleep at night. And sometimes it's because there's something on my mind, but most of the time it's just, I don't know, I'm 80 years old now, and it's not uncommon for people this age to have trouble sleeping, and I just can't sleep. So I'll pray with God, and sometimes I hear things from it, and it's good. And it's good. But I need to do more of that. I think we all need to do more of that. And okay, and then finally, you know, prayer is a very individual thing. We all do it in different ways and so forth. And so, you know, you should do it the way that works for you. Whether you set aside some time somewhere, where you go someplace particular to pray, or, well, this is another thing I do now more than I used to, and I think it's great. And that is, I just talk to God off and on all day long. You know, I always was encouraged by the musical Fiddler on the Roof. You know, or Tevye is just going about all his daily stuff, and he's just talking to God all day long, off and on. He says, well, you know, Lord, you know, so my horse is lame right now or something, you know, I don't know why this had to happen, Lord, you know, but, you know, it's kind of an inconvenience, you know, Lord, if you could just do, you know, he's talking to him like the guy's just walking alongside him, and he's just talking to him about what's going on, you know, whatever. And I find that I do that a little bit more and more all the time. It seems like I just go along and I say, oh, well, that wasn't very nice, was it, God? Or I shouldn't have said that, Lord, you know, and I apologize. And sometimes I start to swear or something, and I just stop and I say, okay, Lord, sorry about that. You know, I didn't like that, but I didn't have to use that word or start to use that word, whatever. Anyway, there's different kinds of prayer. Prayer for asking for stuff, prayer just to walk alongside God, and then prayer where you just set time aside and listen.